Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I met a young man this week who has a family, two children, bought in the individual marketplace. His policy was canceled and one was substituted for it that doubled his premium. Now, I asked him, I said, same coverage? He said, yeah. And I said, but are your co-pays and deductibles the same? He said, no, they're much, much lower. So he said, in the years when I use health care, I might actually save money. But he said, you know, we're all young and we're all healthy. So I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got. I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
It is the Clinton Nation. I mean, the Savage Nation. So this is the sound that was heard around the world, the political world, and people are rightly saying, ooh, look at that. Bill Clinton, the grand figure of the Democrat Party, is coming out saying, let him keep their plan, and Obama should honor it. Wow, what a really balanced idea that is. Those Clintons really are really honorable and to be trusted. There are some in the so-called right-wing side of the dial who are actually celebrating Bill Clinton speaking out on this Obamacare issue, not seeing it for what it really is, in my opinion. I believe this is the Clinton machine trying to position Hillary as a more moderate socialist Democrat, to position her as to the center of Obama so she can run and win, to win another election. Some conservative hosts are so easily bamboozled that they're saying that, wow, look at that. The Clintons saying this shows that the Democrat Party is split and they don't understand what they're saying. The same conservative hosts who are bashing Chris Christie for being too centrist, for not being conservative enough for their tastes, are actually buying into the Clintons for being the voice of reason. I've said many times in the past that they have to look at things for what they are, not what the shadows on the wall tell them. What they're seeing is the shadow on the wall, not the actual players. Do you think that Bill Clinton's remarks are honest in the regard that he really wants Obama to do that for reasons other than to promote Hillary? There's another story that came out just now. Dems seek to change health law. Diane Shopping Cart Feinstein joins worried polls demanding President Obama allow people to keep their current insurance policies. Now, if a woman like Diane Feinstein, who's been in office, I think, since George Washington, is worried because Congress's approval rating is at 9%, even amongst Democrats, they want them fired. She knows she's vulnerable. Do you realize that there are people who could run against Diane Feinstein and defeat her? Boxer could be defeated. Do you understand that? And they finally know this after, I don't know what, 20, I don't know how many years they've been in office. We've had a one-party system in California for as long as I can remember. It's like North Korea here. But they are running scared. Diane Feinstein wants people to keep their current insurance policies. You really believe that? You really actually believe that? I could run against Feinstein. I might win. I'm not going to run. I told you I'm never going to go into politics. Those days are long gone. But if someone had a good radio show, was known as well as I am in California and America, and known to speak his mind, whether people like him or not, they like that you speak your mind in California. Even Democrats are tired of the double talk and the double dealing and the family plan. I'm telling you that an independent could win in the state of California. So, I mean, I have a question to you. Do you agree or disagree with my analysis of why Bill Clinton came out and said that the people should, well, what did he actually say? Play the small piece again, the shorty, the nine-seconder. Let's hear the short one. Just the short version.
I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got.
All right, dead in the water, we'll move on. I told you I don't do Obamacare. I'm the only conservative host who won't do it. I would rather talk about a bad Indian buffet than Obamacare. And I was right. I knew nobody would call on that, but I couldn't resist telling you what I think of Bill Clinton coming out suddenly like he cares about you keeping your plan. They're worried about losing the entire youth market, which is one of their primary, you know, basal voter groups. It's like basal cell carcinoma to cancer. They need that basal cell group, that young group. They need it badly. They're afraid that the future portends terribly for them, as it should, because all the young people are going to get hammered by this. All the people who were hoodwinked by that nice young black guy who they elected, they didn't want that evil old white male. Oh, no. Anyone but the old white male. Mm. They heard about the pretentious contempt for white males for so long that they bought into anyone but a white male. And look what we got. So I don't want to talk about Obamacare. I'd rather talk about something else. But I had to do my analysis of this. So let me give you some of the other topics. Now, I'm not making this up because you're going to say he's making it up. Are you ready for this? A green energy producer in Northern California wants a permit to kill eagles. It sounds like an oxymoronic statement, right? So I'll repeat it. A green energy producer seeks a permit to kill eagles. A wind farm in the Montezuma Hills region of Northern California is seeking a permit to legally kill up to 5 golden eagles. You hear? Even though the eagles are currently protected under federal law and an international migratory bird treaty. Noting that the project contributes to California's renewable energy portfolio standard goals, the corrupt U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has recommended a permit to kill eagles. I swear I'm not making this up. The corrupt U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has recommended a 5-year permit to kill the eagles. If approved, the 3,500-acre Shiloh 4 wind project in Solano County, which is owned by, you ready for this, EDF Renewable Energy, look it up, find out who owns EDF Renewable Energy, follow the money, would receive the nation's first eagle take permit, allowing the project's 52 megawatt wind turbines to legally kill the eagles without penalty. An estimated 315 birds will be killed by each turbine per year, according to the draft's environmental assessment report. Early this year, a similar wind farm in Nevada faced a $200,000 fine for killing a single golden eagle without a take permit. So I have a question for you. Should the owners of this energy farm be put into a wind turbine instead of the eagles? 855-400-7282. I'm just kidding. I can't ask that question. Should the owners of this alleged wind farm be put into the wind turbine or a wood chipper? I shouldn't have asked that. I'm sorry I did it again. So I won't ask it again. Do you approve of killing eagles or of gangsters in the wind turbine business? Let's make it a little more generic. We're not naming anybody. How do you feel about that? What's more valuable, so-called green energy graft or eagles? Again, dead in the water, nobody calls. 855. Something's going on. No one's calling the show anymore. Oh, I got one call. I used to have a lot of calls. I hear rustling in the house. I think it's the dog on the rug. He's scratching. Yesterday's show was very good about death and dying. Maybe I can go into that. Where is everybody? I asked you last night, where was God in the Philippines? And that was a good show. Everyone like challenged me, and they said, are you questioning God? How dare you question God? They got mad at me. You're not supposed to question anything as a conservative. You're supposed to be a knee-jerker like the liberals now, I guess. If you question the fanaticism of the Revolutionary Guards on the right, who are as equally fanatical as the Obama Revolutionary Guards, I guess you get crucified. 855-407-2822. George on WABC, you're first up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good evening, Michael. I'm a dedicated listener.
Sorry to hear it. I'm sorry to hear you're a dedicated listener. It means you have a very terrible life.
No. You're my highlight. But anyway, Clinton was actually putting out a subliminal message for Hillary as the president.
You mean so you agree with me? He was trying to position the Clinton machine as being more moderate than Obama, right? Not as mean?
Absolutely. And more.
So they're playing nice to the nasty cop. They've made Obama, who can't be reelected, the nasty cop, and they're going to be the nice cop. In other words, just vote Democrat, that's all.
Absolutely.
But, you know, George, you say you're a devoted listener, and I've heard you call before. Has anybody in the media analyzed it from this perspective all day. I haven't heard it. I don't listen all day, but I tune in and out. No one seems to see through this.
No. Nobody brought it up. Still stuck on the issue of repealing Obamacare.
They can't repeal Obamacare. It's the law. What they really ought to do is look into what they have on Judge Roberts from spying. No one's asked that question. You remember this whole law was hanging in balance when Justice Roberts was asked whether this Obamacare would be a tax or not, and everyone knew it wasn't a tax. Remember that?
Yep.
Everyone said, no, it's not a tax. What, are you crazy? And then suddenly he came up with this crazy idea that it was a tax. Could it be tied into NSA spying, do you think? I mean, if they'd spy on the Pope, and they'd spy on Merkel, and they'd spy on foreign leaders, why should we assume Obama didn't spy on Roberts, find something, and blackmail him with it? Has that been said yet in the media? Am I allowed to ask the question?
Yeah, of course you are.
No, I'm not. Freedom of speech in America? What, cows in Berkeley? Moo, no.
Yeah, for the time being, there's freedom of speech.
Yeah, right. I just hit the wrong button on my Telos. I'm going to lose all my calls. Will someone go on and fix it? Hey, George, thanks for calling. That opens up 25 open lines at 855-400. I'll tell you what I did tonight. I made a decision. I've made a rational decision here on the Savage Nation, which you probably can hear my voice. I'm going light and hard. I'm not going zealot. You want to go zealot? Take your shot. My belief is that talk radio can only survive with light, informative. If I go zealot, it's over. I think talk radio will die with the zealousness is wonderful. It's wonderful if you're a Trotskyite professor in Brooklyn in the 1950s with a Robert Hall suit and chalk marks on your behind, with kids snickering at your suit behind your back as you lecture on the wonders of Leninism and Trotskyism and Marxism. But I don't know. I can't listen to it anymore. Dead in the water, nothing. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have to switch to food. Okay, I'll tell you a joke before I take the break. I have a couple of minutes while you're calling on this serious stuff. Let us see where I begin. Oh, I remember now. I have a neighbor in one of the places I live in. He's over 80, and he smokes cigars every day. So I was bicycling by his house, and I stopped and chatted with him. So I said, Bob, how many years have you been smoking? How old are you now? He says, 81. Every day comes out of the house, the wife makes him go out to smoke. So he's smoking a cigar. I love this guy. Old Italian guy, by the way, strong as iron. Very, very polite, nice man. So I said to him, how many years have you been smoking? He says, 1954. I said, well, you're one of the strong ones. I mean, you're like the guy. You're the outlying variable in cholesterol studies and in smoking studies. I said, you can smoke and it's not doing anything harmful to you. I said, well, what made you start smoking in 1954? Were you in Korea? He said, no, the Korean War was over, but I was in Germany in the army, and we're crossing a river in Germany in the summer. I was getting bitten to death by mosquitoes. I kept slapping my arm, and my sergeant kept laughing at me. And I looked up at him, and the sergeant was laughing at me, saying to me, Bill, why are you slapping yourself? He says, these damn mosquitoes are killing me. And meanwhile, the sergeant was a big black guy. He said, was leaning back, smoking a cigar. And he looked at me with the cigar and then puffed the smoke. And he said, Bob, he said, you know why I smoke cigars, don't you? So he said he took up smoking cigars to get the mosquitoes to stay away from him. I thought that was an interesting story. But as far as health goes, I said, you can do what I can't. You see, there are nutritional rogues who could eat highly saturated fats. They can eat sugar, and they're not going to get sick young. I can't. I'm not a nutritional rogue. But don't let them be the model for you. Then I have another story for you about a friend of mine who's a farmer out in Western Marin who cuts the you-know-whats off young bulls. Because I couldn't sleep last night at the thought of bulls having their you-know-whats cut off. And it bothered me, so I asked him the process of cutting the you-know-whats off bulls on his farm. And as I called him today, he said, oh, we just did three of them today. And I'll fill you in on that detail of how men become liberals, how bulls become steers, and how horses become geldings when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got.
All right, so the new Democrat plan is that you should keep what you got. That's because they know Obamacare is very unpopular and that Barack can't be reelected, allegedly can't be reelected. Let's hold our breath that he doesn't wipe out the term limits. And that obviously this is a plan to make Hillary appear more moderate to me. I seem to be the only one who sees it that way. But now Dianne Feinstein pops up and says the same thing. So these are the same people who pushed socialized medicine. And now they're saying they want socialized light, socialized medicine light. Isn't that interesting? And many on the right are saying, oh, that's wonderful. It shows a split in the Democrat Party. These are the same people who think Chris Christie is horrible, but that Bill Clinton is wonderful. Go figure. So what can I say to you? Greece intercepts ship with 20,000 assault rifles headed for Syrian rebels. Greece has intercepted a weapons ship destined to Sunni rebels in Syria. Well, that should make John McCain very unhappy. The 20,000 assault rifles that won't be going to the rebels, that should make him and Lindsey Graham really angry. The Hellenic Coast Guard captured a ship with more than 20,000 assault rifles, as well as ammo and explosives. The weapons shipment came from Ukraine and was headed for the Turkish port of Iskenderun. Oof, God, this is heavy-duty stuff. Arms, sales, arms interception. This is amazing. Who thinks that Greece? Hey, let's hear it for the Greeks. I didn't even know they had a Coast Guard anymore. You know, it's so stereotypical. You say a country, you have one image in your head. How can we compute all the data? So you have to say, if you say a person from India, you have an image right away. Greece, an image. I guarantee Irish, image. Jewish, image. White man, black man, Indian man, thief, criminal, saint. You have one image. You have to carry it around in a pictogram in your head, right? So when you say Greece to me, I have an image. I don't know what it is. A guy smoking a cigarette outside the Parthenon in an undershirt. I'm sorry. No, it's from the years in New York. All the guys I knew that I liked who were Greek had diners in the Jackson High, up near the Queensboro Bridge. I didn't know they still had it. They're broke and they still have a Navy? Wow, that's really good news. Just shows you. One of the largest ever reported in the Aegean Sea and headed to Sunni rebels in Syria.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's amazing to me how cynical the comedians are on television, the fake geniuses, Hollywood. They're all coming out now saying, oh, we're in favor of less government. I mean, people have been radical leftists their whole loudmouth lives are suddenly trying to position themselves as middle-of-the-road moderates in Hollywood. You can't believe this. As well as television comedians. Suddenly they're playing like, oh, yeah, we're against big government, too. How'd that happen? The best cartoon of the day I saw in the Washington World Tribune today, it shows the equivalent of a Titanic-like ship halfway underwater going down. It's called the SS Obamacare. And then there's a group of an orchestra playing, and they're called the press. The leader is Obama in a sailor cap saying, keep playing. It's very interesting. So now all of a sudden that the geniuses on the left who did this to us, including Dianne Feinstein, including Hillary Clinton, who tried to take over one-sixth of the economy at that time, they're saying, oh, yeah, let them keep their plan. Right. 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 Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. W-I-L-K. In Wilkes-Barre. Wilkes-Barre. Ginger, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I love listening to your show. First time I ever called anyone. And I just didn't agree with you on former President Bill Clinton doing the opposite to position Hillary. I am a very conservative Republican who would vote Democrat if they weren't for abortion, and I thought they were good Democrats. I would say maybe even independent to the point that I would vote for a Democrat, and I just don't agree with you saying that that's why he did it. I really feel he was sincere.
You think Bill Clinton, what has Bill Clinton ever done in his political career that showed any sincerity? Can you give me two examples?
Well, we had Governor Casey here, and he was a Democrat. I voted for him and because he was against abortion. He was a wonderful governor.
Ginger, we're not talking about abortion. We're talking about Bill Clinton coming out saying that people should, Obama should honor the commitment and the federal government should let people keep their plans.
I
don't believe, you know that Bill Clinton's a master politician, so why should you analyze that in any way other than through a political lens?
I believe he knows it's wrong. I mean, I believe he, Obama made the commitment, which we all knew was, it was bad, it was wrong.
And
now,
a liar. You mean Obama has been lying ever since he got...
Absolutely. That's,
okay. And so Obama's been lying, Hillary's been lying, they're all lying, but Bill Clinton is telling the truth?
No, I didn't say Hillary was lying. I didn't like what happened in Bangladesh, and I know we're not talking about that.
You mean in Benghazi?
Former President Clinton.
Wait, hold it. You don't mean Bangladesh. You mean in Benghazi?
Benghazi, I'm sorry.
Okay, I know it's confused with a pain spray, Bengay, but okay. But nevertheless, so you believe Bill Clinton. All right, to each his own, that's all. I'm not going to argue with you. What's the point of saying I don't believe it? It's the position, Hillary. How could you not see that? All right, we have other sound. Just play the Bill Clinton piece again so the newcomers get into the theme here, what we're doing.
I met a young man this week.
No, the shorty. Come on, then play the short version. The shorty.
I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got.
Oh, God. All right, well, enough with that already. It's late at night. People are exhausted. I don't know about you, but this daylight savings time is just slaying me. Till 6 o'clock rolls around on the West Coast, it's like, what in the... I get up at the crack, the minute the light comes in. It's the old Lenny Bruce joke. Oh, sure, I always get up 14 hours before my show. How can I do this? How many days left till my January 1st switch to, like normal hours here? Noon to 3 on the West, 3 to 6 on the East. I'll be actually able to go to dinner like a human being? Can you imagine? Unbelievable to me. But look, I'm not complaining. God wants me here. God wants me in the Siberia of talk radio. It's not really that late on the West Coast. Not really that late at all when you think about it. And as someone said to me, what would you be doing anyway with this time? That's the real horror. You want to hear horror? It's like the apocalypse now. Someone said to me, what are you complaining about the time slot you're in? What would you be doing with this time if you weren't on the radio, for example? And that really hits, like the void hits you. The whole abyss, the whole darkness of the universe sets in like, oh my God. How many meals are there to be had? How many drinks are there to be drunk? How many dances are there to be danced? You know what I'm saying? So thank you, God, for giving me this late night show, which will soon become a much earlier show. God sees the truth but waits. And, wow, look at the news is pretty horrible. You want me to go to my website? You'll hear news. You won't believe this. I collect stuff. I try not to get you really upset. Let's see, what's up now? The secret dirty cost of Obama's green power push. That's an old story. Is immigration reform dead in Congress? That might be true. You would think that the Obama Revolutionary Guard would stop trying to destroy America at the pace that they've been following, and they'd slow down on amnesty. But no, I don't believe it. I believe that the forces of amnesty are so strong, there is so much money at stake, that they're not through with that at all. I think you're being hoodwinked into believing that. North Korea publicly executes 80 people. You know what they did? They had a Bible. North Korea publicly executed 80 people. Why? Some had Bibles. Now, that will please people on the left. They would like to execute you for having a Bible. I understand that. Some for offenses as minor as watching South Korean movies or possessing a Bible. South Korean newspaper Jung-ong Ilbo reported that the so-called criminals were put to death in 7 cities across North Korea on November 3. Ugh. Do you have any idea what we're talking about here? 8 people, their heads covered with white bags, were tied to stakes at a local stadium in the city of Wonsan before authorities shot them with a machine gun? Where is the United Nations? What, are they too busy with the prostitutes tonight on the Upper East Side? Where are they? Where are those rats in the United Nations? They're pointing their finger at Israel, you lousy anti-Semitic bums, you. You third world throwbacks, you. I can't stand any of you in the UN. You phony grifters. You rat grifters, you. All you do is point fingers at Israel. Here, 80 people are executed in North Korea, and you rat mongers. You mongers, you. You have nothing to say about North Korea executing people? Close down the UN. Shut the UN and kick the diplomats out. Turn it into a homeless shelter. Take that entire high rise and convert it to homeless housing in New York and throw these people out. They're worthless. They're leeches. I lived in New York. I saw what went on outside the UN. I saw them in their limos with the prostitutes. I saw them jumping out, the big executives, the big ambassadors, the diplomats with the shiny shoes. We're doing it for our people. We're doing it for our people back home. This is some story. This is some story. Not one word from the useless United Nations. And what's really galling is that the guy who heads up the UN is Korean. North Korea publicly executes people, some for having videos or Bibles. Not one word from the corrupt, radical people in the United Nations. Okay, I got a neck ache from this. It's so awful. I don't want to get a sore throat. How could you not get upset over it? Well, what can you do over it? The people are dead, right? What can you write to Dianne Feinstein? Yeah, send an email to Dianne Feinstein about the executions in North Korea. Maybe she could send an email to Kim Jong-un and say to him, please don't kill any more people if they have Bibles. That might be something she might do for you. So maybe you can answer me about God now. Answer me about God. The typhoon hits. Yesterday was 10,000. Today they reduced it to 2,000. But nevertheless, okay, thousands killed. So every man, woman, and child was evil. Is that what you're saying? God wiped them all out because even the infants who were not even born in the womb, they should have died too? Because their karma said that they committed something in a past life. You could argue it any way you want. God said every one of them was no good. Every last one was no good. That's why God swept that town. So the best man in town and the worst man in town, the drug dealer and the priest, all got wiped out in the typhoon. Why? How in the world could you answer that question without coming to the conclusion that there is no answer to certain questions? And then you suspend both your belief and disbelief at the same time. See, here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You don't have to become a disbeliever in order to remain a believer. But on the other hand, please leave the disbelievers alone. There's enough horror in the world for the disbelievers to disbelieve. Leave them alone. They're not all bad people. Nor are all believers such good people. Just leave them alone. Follow your own lodestone. Leave the disbelievers alone. Who are they bothering? Are they bothering you? So God sees the truth but waits. Yeah, okay, they all did something wrong. They cast their seed upon the ground, so the whole village got wiped out. Read about Onan in the Bible. Onan. Read about Onan. No one even knows who Onan is anymore or what Onanism is. And I'm not talking about OWN. I'm not talking about Oprah Winfrey's channel. I'm talking about Onanism, not Onanism. See, there's so much lost in the educational system. I'm not trying not to be highbrow because highbrow is the death. See, highbrow is the death of talk radio. You got to almost be a rap artist and speak in 50 words, 50 simple words, like 50 words of English. To succeed in talk radio really big, I think you have to have a 50-word vocabulary. If you go over 60, you lose about each word count that goes up, the audience goes down. I'm sorry to tell you. No, it's sad. It really is. What are you, some kind of liberal? You said the word ornithology? What are you, a communist? You use the word ornithology and eagles? You must be a commie. Next thing, you might use the word like lethargy. Then we'll know that you're a socialist savage. If we hear your word, if you use one more three-syllable word, we're going to guarantee that you're not a true conservative. You use the word nebulous? Huh. Wow. This is the way I'm going with my show. This is my direction. This is my road. I followed my own drummer. I don't follow the road of a different drummer, whatever they used to say. I am the drummer. I'm the fife and the drum. I'm leading my own parade. I'm the only one in the band. That's let me tell you something right now. You want to hear it from the get-go? You mark it down today. Mark it down. Let everyone do what they want in radio and television and print and newspapers and books. On the 12th of November in the year of our Lord, 2013, Anno Domini. Ooh, there's another thing for the liberals to go after. They should change the year because it's too Christian. In the year of our Lord, 11/12/2013, Michael Savage said he's following his own path. And he said that within 8 months, he will determine whether he was right or wrong. I could be wrong. It could be that all you want to hear for 9 hours a day is about Obamacare, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. and about fantasies of the founding fathers, that they were saints and they could make no mistake. They had no flaws. They were perfect men, although they were perfect men. They were geniuses beyond anything you could imagine. And so if you want to hear that, there are plenty of people who can feed you that, Pap. They can spoon it to you all day long. I not only can't I do it, I won't do it. If my career depended on it, I wouldn't do it. I would quit radio the next day. If someone said to me, okay, look, the trend is that you have to bash Obama every day, and you have to say Obama at least 15 times an hour, Obama no good, and you have to talk about health care from now until June, I would resign and throw my hat out of the ring. I'm not doing it. I'm going down my own road. Do you know that for the first 15 or so years of my radio career, I never listened to another host? You don't have to believe me or not. I didn't. I had a rule. Because I found something out. You want to hear the rule? I'll give you a little behind this. Why am I doing this? I got mad about the execution of 80 in North Korea and the UN doing nothing. So I got upset. So I'm trying to like calm myself down. I got to get the blood down. The neck, the blood, the foot. You know, it's like the whole thing here. It's awful to get so upset over death like this. I am telling you that for the first 15 or 16 years of my radio career, you're peeking a little here. I listen to that no more. Why? Because I'm very suggestible. And if you listen to other hosts, you tend to mimic them, which is why from Rush for the next 9 hours, all you hear is what Rush said. 9 hours, Rush, whatever he says, 9 hours. Boom. Even his slight lisp that comes out every once in a while, God bless him, comes out in certain other hosts. The lisp now. The speech defects of a host will appear in another host if they listen too long. They psychically almost warp into that personality. So because my voice is so unique, and I'm unique unto myself, and people said I couldn't make it in talk radio 18, 19, 20 years ago, but they were wrong. Here I am. So I'm going to follow my own road. My road is this road. My road is this road. And that's the end of it. And if I'm wrong by come June, you'll know it. They'll be the winners. I'll be the loser, and I'll go off into the sunset. I'll get that canvas white hat. And I will simply walk the beaches of Fort Lauderdale with all of the other people in witness protection. And I'll eat my Zabaglione at night. I'll drink my wine. And I'll play bocce somewhere near a graveyard. This is the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In the next hour, we're going to have a tape done by the great, great, great guy, O'Keefe, of Obamacare navigators lying on a hidden tape, telling an undercover person to not get into trouble by reporting any additional income, to lie to make sure they get a subsidy. If you think that you know what corruption is, you have no idea what corruption is. WMAL in Washington, D.C., colon, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, my good friend?
Hello, Michael. Thank you for getting me on your show. It's the second time I was on, and I appreciate the last time you sent me out your book, Train Tracks.
Good for you. Fabulous. So what makes you call this evening, Mr. Colon?
Well, you know, I've been a listener since 2006. I come straight from Northern Ireland, but I want to let you know, if you ever take a trip over to Ireland, I have associates in the south also, and
I hear you. I'm reading between the lines, my friend.
Michael, you're not banned in the south. Let me tell you that. You're not banned in...
I'm still banned in England. You know that.
Ah, it's a disgrace. Disgrace.
Can you imagine the Brits have gone from the Magna Carta to this nauseating government that they have? But the thing is, if I landed in Ireland, where in Ireland could I land and then go to the border of England and jeer them with 1,000 Irish?
Well, you can land in Shannon, and you know, you put out the petition, and we can all get together.
Can you imagine if I landed in Shannon and 1,000 of my listeners flew over from the States, and then we got, let's say, I don't know, you think we can get 1,000 people from Ireland to join us saying some nice things to our friends across the border?
Mr. Savage, you have listeners all over the world. I came over here in 2000, September the 7th, and a couple of years later, I got on your radio show, and I tell you what, I just tell people about you all the time.
Do you know why you like me, even though we're different from different cultures? I'll tell you exactly why. Because of what you people have been through, you know what it's like to be oppressed by a lying rat government. And you also know what the truth is, because without the truth, you wouldn't survive a day. You wouldn't have survived a day in the environment in which you were living. Am I correct?
Exactly. Michael, my father was on the march in 1972 on Bloody Sunday when the British paratroopers moved in and assassinated a lot of people in Derry City, Northern Ireland.
What year was that? You're not talking about the black and white thing, are you?
No, not at all. I'm talking about 1972.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were going way back to like your grandfather's or great-grandfather's time when the Brits were oppressing the Irish.
1972, Michael, Bloody Sunday. British paratroopers moved on the Civil Rights March, and they assassinated 13 people, and a later 14 person died. You know, I know my own father was on the march that day, and he writ a testimony to me, and he told me he was dodging bullets that day, you know. But I tell you, Michael, just to cut a long story short, you're...
Now, come on, an Irish person can never cut a long story short. That's the joy of being Irish. I think that's the product of having a lot of time on your hands and a lot of genius in your soul, isn't it?
Do you know what, Michael? I just want to quote you something before you go up. I listen to your show every night. And
hold on, my friend, listen, Colin, this is such a beautiful moment. Don't hang up. Come back at the top of the hour. Let's start it from the top. Let's talk about your Irish viewpoint from Ireland, how you came to listen to the show, and what you like about it, and then we'll go on to what you're going to say. Or we'll call you right back. Get Colin's number and call him. Let's have fun.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We got healthcare. We got the Big Gulp. I mean, you name it. They're coming. They're coming after your donuts. Did you hear they're coming after the trans fat in your donuts? So I mentioned this today, and unfortunately, my wife tells me I should count to 10 before I speak sometimes, but I couldn't help. The FDA has banned, unilaterally, some unelected bureaucrat has banned trans fats. And so I said, we need to line every one of them up. I want to see how skinny or how fat the FDA agents are that are making the rules on this.
It is the Savage Nation. That was Rand Paul warning the FDA is coming after your donuts. Only because he's right. What's next? I call them food fascists in my book, The Skeptical Nutritionist, published in 1981, to show you how long I've been into this. And now we go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Before the show was broken at the top of the hour for all the important news and weather and sponsorships that keep the show going, we had a wonderful new caller from Ireland, Northern Ireland, Colin from WMAL, who was interrupted in trying to cut something long to short. But as I said to him, someone from Ireland can never cut something long to short. That's the beauty of being Irish. Colin, welcome back to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Flancha, Michael.
Yep. What does that mean, flancha?
Flancha means, like, cheers.
Flancha. I used to hear that in the Irish bar I would drink, it's flancha. Yeah. I thought they were talking about some kind of liver disease.
Yeah.
I thought that the owner was telling me if I kept drinking the Guinness, I'd get flancha. No, that's a bad joke. Hey, he had a dog. Tell me what it means. He was an Irish wolfhound who I loved. His name was, I forget his name. Fionn. What is Fionn in the Irish language? What is Fionn? Is there a famous creature named Fionn?
Fionn is like a Kevin with a K-E-V-I-N.
Well, this dog was so beautiful, 165 pounds. He would lie on the floor of the bar, and he only lived to 6 years. There's one of the most beautiful creatures I've ever seen on the planet is the Irish wolfhound, you know? You forget that they were bred to kill wolves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're bred to kill wolves, you know. That's what they used to do years ago, you know, and then especially in the Irish Republic, you know.
So, Colin, there were wolves in Ireland, and now the wolves are across the border in Britain, huh? In England, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? We can't comprehend with those people over there, you know. The Republic of Ireland, Michael, as you know, is like Greece at the moment. The economy is so bad.
Yes, they had a booming economy, and a lot of the real estate barons really ripped off the public, and then the whole real estate market collapsed, correct?
Yeah. The Celtic Tiger is gone. You know, I speak with my mother in Northern Ireland, and she tells me Northern Ireland is full of Polish, Ukrainians, people coming from Russia, you know.
And what are they doing? Oh, are they working? There are jobs for them? What do they do there?
But you know what they're doing, Michael? They're working the way the illegals are coming here.
You mean they do the dirty work, the hard work?
Exactly.
Oh, so the Irish don't want to dig ditches anymore. The Irish got lazy with the real estate boom. They want to open a website.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Well, I'll tell you once. Look, there's a great poem by Oliver Goldsmith from the 1700s called "When the Bold Peasantry Is Gone." The land is left fallow. The nation dies. I forget the whole poem. It's called "The Silent." Oh, goodness, I forget it. I'll look it up again. But no, I didn't know Ireland had fallen into that state because the Irish used to be very hard workers.
Oh, Michael, they are, but the influxation of immigrants.
Oh, you're saying that the immigrants are taking those jobs. It's not that the Irish don't want to do them.
No, exactly.
Oh, because you're saying because these immigrants will do it for less, they're getting the jobs. They're undercutting the wages is what you're saying, I guess.
Well, Michael, they're getting paid buttons, as they would say, you know, with Irish talk. They're getting
What's the legal minimum wage in Ireland? I'm just curious. Like if a laborer works, what is the minimum wage set by the state?
$3.25, and that's in British pounds.
So what's that? $5?
Yeah, and that's
around $5 U.S. And what will the immigrants work for?
Next to nothing, Michael. Next to nothing. You know what? I can't even tell you that because they'll work the next to nothing. And as I said to you before, my mother told me that her next door neighbors, they're all Polish, Ukrainian, and they're up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they come back at 5 o'clock in the evening. And
they're hard working. I mean, you can't not like them. I mean, you could resent them, but you can't not like them.
Especially the Poles. You know, the Poles, you know.
Oh, they're very hardworking people. They've been through hell. In fact, the Poles the Poles have experienced as much persecution on the continent of Europe, if not more than the Irish, by the way.
Especially under Adolf Hitler and the rest of it, you know.
Believe me, I know the history, and I know the racism toward Polish people in Europe is it's always been a joke. But before you go, Colin, I wanted to ask you, you're a listener to the show, we're from different cultures. Of course it's self-serving for me to ask you this question on a national talk and radio show when we're mainly talking about domestic issues here in America. What is it that you find intriguing about my program?
Well, Michael, if you give me 30 seconds, I'm going to just give you my little bit of talk. Michael, I first came to the United States in 1986.
No, but you got to tell me why you listen to the show, because we're not sitting around a fire. People are deciding whether to hang up on my show as you talk, so.
The show, because you know what? Your politics are correct, and I love how you bring justice to the injustice that is aimed towards
us. So in other words, you feel I give a voice to the voiceless. Is that sort of it, whether it be the eagles being killed by the greedy green machine people who want to put in wind turbines and kill eagles and get permits to kill eagles, for example? Yes, it's a damn outrage. It's a damn outrage is what... Yeah, I am outraged. I'm still outraged. Yes, I'm still capable of outrage.
Oh, Savage, I tell you what, if we ain't got you, we ain't got nothing. And that's from a guy from Northern Ireland who is 45 years old and has been listening to you for a lot of years. If we ain't got you, we ain't got nothing. We need voices like you. And
you know, I think that when I finally quit radio, I'm going to move to Ireland to learn to pick up the Irish accent. I love the Irish accent. It's the most unique of all the English-speaking language, let's say, dialects. The Irish is the most unique. I love it. It's a tough one to pick up, by the way, for an actor. Have you ever seen the American actors try to play the Irish accent? I love it. They can't do it. It's like them trying to be from New York. What I like the most, Colin, is when I watch movies, right, and you see these actresses from the Midwest, God bless them, trying to act like they're from New York, and they get voice coaches, and you can hear how phony it is. It's the same thing watching Brad Pitt when he played a member of the IRA. Remember that movie?
The one in New York with Harrison Ford.
Yes, that was a pretty good movie, but he didn't have the accent down at all, did he?
You know what? He tried his best, Michael.
That's right. He did a good job. I mean, he portrayed it pretty well.
Michael, did you ever watch...
But the accent is really hard to get, the Irish accent correct. Now, talk to me about Gaelic. Is Gaelic still spoken in your home country?
Michael, I grew up in Derry City, Northern Ireland.
Yes.
On a map, you will see it as Londonderry. But the real name is Derry City, D-E-R-R-Y. And
but when you're home, do you speak in Gaelic to your friends?
Only when I go to church. They still have Latin Mass.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Depending, you know.
Gaelic. It's a tough language for a foreigner to understand. It's almost like a secret code language in many ways. Oh, you can't say that. I would say that speaking Gaelic around the Brits is the same thing as Jews who speak Yiddish around Jews who spoke Yiddish around Germans.
So, Michael, in Gaelic, let me tell you, let me say to you how to say hello. How you doing? It is a pajama tattoo.
Kajima tattoo.
Yeah, pajama tattoo.
Kajima tattoo. So you're not knocking down the Irish whiskey as we're talking, are you?
Pardon?
Are you knocking down a little Irish whiskey as we speak?
No. I'm waiting.
Oh, come on. I'm pulling your leg.
Michael, Kajima tattoo means how you doing.
Thank you. You know what? This was a beautiful call for no reason whatsoever, meaning... How much news can anyone take? Isn't it wonderful to just have a little conversation with a stranger in Cafe Savage? Colin, thank you very much for being with us on the program. Why not? If you wanted me to say Obamacare, I won't do it. Next caller, WABC, way up in New York City. New York City, I start in January. Are they all going to switch and listen to me during the day? Are they going to stop listening at night and start listening 3 to 6? Well, what am I going to have to do to appeal to them again? I'm going to get all of my old listeners from the three-letter station who will be, well, they're not, many of them came over and listened to me at night, but it's late. It's hard for them to listen at night. It is very hard for a lot of people to listen to radio at night because, well, whatever. There's no question about it. But then when I move down 6 hours, that's a whole change. Boy in the basement. Did I ever read Boy in the Basement to you? I never read Boy in the Basement to you. It's from my book, Train Tracks. Boy in the Basement. I was a basement boy myself. You know, that would make a great movie. It's almost like a Dickens novel. I've led a Dickensian life as a child. And there's nothing negative about it. I'm not trying to get appeal to your sentiments and woe is me. In very many ways, I'm very lucky that I led a horrendous life as a child. I can't imagine what I would have been if I had a normal childhood and a father who was nice to me. I don't know what I would have been. I'd probably be dead by now. My entire childhood, now that I think back, I used to dream that I wish my father was rich so I wouldn't have to work so hard. The other half was spent fantasizing. If I had a rich father, what it would be like if I didn't have to struggle in school. I could just goof off in college. I would inherit his business. But I didn't have that leisure. He made it very clear to me. He said very clearly to me, you're going to make it on your own or you're going to have nothing because I can't give you anything. It's that simple. He made it very clear. It was a black and white movie in his car. Every trip down to his store was a black and white movie. There was no color in that show. There was no 3D. it was just a grim film noir. Dad and I going to work. Grim, cold. If you put the heater on, you had to keep it on low. You couldn't be too warm. He didn't want you to get too comfortable because then you wouldn't work hard. Swear to God. I said, Dad, can't you? I'm shivering here. It's freezing. It's early in the morning. Can't we just put the heater on? No. No, you'll get tired. You'll want to go back to sleep. You got a full day ahead of you. Oh, God, come on. The smell of the sandwich in the back. God, the meat, I can smell it. It's remembrances of things past. The smell of that nauseating pot roast sandwich sitting in the back. The heater on. Oh, Lord. He was a good man. He wanted the best for me. He was old school. He was just afraid that his son in the promised land, I was supposed to be the one to get ahead. His father was the immigrant that he brought him over. He was the immigrant. So here I was, and he was terrified that I would amount to nothing in the world. Nothing. And believe me, there were times in my life it almost came to nothing. I was this close to the precipice of zero. And every time I had to fight my way back out of that abyss, I was on the edge. I mean, I don't want to go into it. It's too painful. And it was the guardrails on the edge of the roadside that kept me from falling in the canyon. And I'll let you figure out what the guardrails were. I'll tell you right off the bat, family, number one. God, number two. I reversed the order of what you may think, but if it wasn't for my children and my wife, truthfully, forget about it. There would have been no reason to stay on the road. None. And that's the greatest argument I can give you for family, is that they focus you and they give you a reason to fight and go on. When the going is no longer about you, it's about them. And that's something that needs to be taught to our selfish, narcissistic children, is that it's not about them. It's about their family. And let me tell you why that's so important and why the communist socialists are so opposed to the church and to the family structure. Because they understand better than anybody, as Marx wrote, by the way. I've read Marx. You have to understand. I've already gone over the stop set. Marx said that the greatest threat to his dream was the bourgeois family unit, and they meant to break it. That's why you have child care. That's why you have infant care. That's why you have the NEA. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So Congress's approval rating is at 9%. Obama's approval rating drops to the lowest yet in Quinnipiac. I can't pronounce it. Why can't they just change it? Quinnipiac. Why do they call themselves that? Well, I've always had trouble. Why do you keep a name that no one can pronounce? Americanize it. What does Quinnipiac mean? It's like the name of a tribe. I mean, I respect the Native American culture. President Obama's approval rating drops the lowest yet in Quinnipiac University poll. Can't they change it to something cool like Quinn University? Where do you go? Oh, Quinn University. See, that's cooler than, where do you go? Oh, Quinnipiac. Ugh, get out of here. Quinnipiac. What, he's got a nut? What do you mean, Quinnipiac? Where'd you get your master's from? Quinnipiac. Oh, get out of here. Where'd you get university? Where'd you get degree from? Quinn University. Well, that's pretty nice. See, it's all in the name. Okay, John on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Michael. Excuse me for laughing. I'll tell you,
do you agree with me? Quinnipiac? Quinnipiac? Why do they keep a name that no one can pronounce?
You kill me. I'll tell you, though, one of the reasons I love listening to your show is your satire. I think you are an equal opportunity offender, man. In one show, you can sort of philosophize to make fun of or joke about different ethnic backgrounds and religions, and most of them who contributed greatly to our borders, language, and culture. I mean, for example, the Italians, they're out walking the beaches in Florida and with this protection program. The Jewish people were Schatzenberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg.
You get the whole thing. You got all of the satire and all of the cartoonish imagery, huh?
Oh, yeah. The Greeks, I mean, they have a great ancient history.
Was I wrong? I'm saying, I don't know. I'm saying, but you have to generalize. How can you never agree? See, it's a Greek, undershirt, cigarette in front of the Parthenon. It's not so far off.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, so let's go back just to the quick thing, family. why the left hates the family. Marx attacked the family as a bourgeois institution. That's why the entire mores in America is against the nuclear family. It started with the American left sneering at mother, father, and now it's moved to so-called the sacred nature of the single-parent family. Now, God bless the single-parent family if that's what you got. You know, God bless you. My grandmother was a single parent. I found that out many years later. She didn't ask to be so. That's how it wound up, and she did a great job. She worked many menial tasks to keep the family afloat. But the left has by design destroyed tried to destroy the nuclear family. They made it a dirty word. Why? Because, as I said to you before, if a man in particular lives for his family as opposed to himself, he can get outside himself. It helps him overcome his inherent narcissism and egocentric nature. So he lives for his wife and children to protect them. That's the instinct of a man. That's the basic primal instinct of a man, is to protect the wife and children, okay? Now, if a man protects a wife and children, he has a natural affinity for a nation that will also protect his wife and children. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Since the transnationalists want to break the nationhood, want to break the sovereignty, for example, of our great nation, and to destroy the concept of an America by melting down our borders, by bastardizing our language, and by decimating our culture, how better to do it than 30 years of brainwashing, destroying the family? So the hope for America is to, again, emphasize the family. The nuclear family is the key to rebuilding the United States of America. Start with the family, and you can build the nation back up. That's all I wanted to say on that. Now back to unnormal programming on the Savage Nation. President Obama's approval rating drops to lowest yet in Quinnipiac. I know that's not, you pronounce it Quinn, how do you say it, Neil? Quinnip? Quinnipiac, I could never pronounce it. And I didn't know what Quinnipiac meant. It's a division of the Algonquin tribe. I have no idea why they don't change the name to the Quinn University. Well, I guess it's a Native American tribe, and they're proud of their heritage, as anyone should be. But it's a very hard one to name. I mean, if they turned Q University into a gambling casino, think of that. Why struggle with learning when you could just have machines churning out money? So let's move on. Listen to this now. Here's a host, an unknown host, on an NBC show bashing conservative radio in clip 16.
It comes as a shock to certain ideology and profit-driven talk radio hosts, but parties win the White House by nominating candidates who win the most votes, not feeding endlessly on base resentments that offend crossover voters and shrink the GOP's voter rolls. I mean, you seem to be saying talk radio is part of the problem.
And then clip 17 for the digestion.
But when they start pushing their worldview on Republicans across the country and start saying you either have to run up to the barricades and fight to the death every single time or you're not sufficiently conservative, and you actually have politicians listening to that.
I don't know who this is.
Turn
it on. I don't like his voice. Oh, he's a rhino type. I get it. Who listens to anything he says anyway? Disgraced former congressman. I don't know who he is. Whatever. All right. That's the best General Electric can come up with, that and a light bulb. So, the newspapers. I didn't do the newspapers for you yet. I used to do a newspaper feature at this time of the night to entertain you, so I got two newspapers in my hand because I like the smell of newsprint and the feel of it. I grew up with it on the F train and the E train, rattling in from Queens to my jobs in Manhattan as a social worker, teacher, this, that, all aboard. Had the Brooks Brothers raincoat, trying to be as white as I could. I did. I tried to pass for white for many a decade in New York. I try to be like an average ad executive, like a white. I mean, when I say white, I mean like an ad executive, you know, waspy white man. I never could make it. I tried very hard, like an ad man. I was never an ad man. I wanted to like look like one. You know what I'm saying? Because they got all the girls. It's like Draper. So I would get the newspapers and hold it in my hand. I'd get the Brooks Brothers raincoat and go to my horrible stinking job in Manhattan. I learned how to read the paper by folding it a certain way on the subway. So although I don't buy newspapers today because they become pathetic shells of what they once were in terms of any opinion that has any Americanism at all, any reality, I don't read them. But since talk radio depends upon my ability to be entertained first so I can entertain you, I decided to get two newspapers today. because there's not. So here's the San Francisco Chronicle. It was once a B newspaper. When I first moved here in 74, it was a B minus. It's now like if it was a news F. This newspaper would be left back. If this newspaper was a student, it would be left back. It's that simple. It loses about $1 million a week or $1 million a day. But you don't understand, it doesn't matter what it loses because it's not written to make money, well, published to make money. It's published to promote an agenda. The agenda is Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Jerry Brown, the Democrat machine. That's all. It's that simple. So it doesn't matter what it loses. It's the same as everything else in the country that the media puts out there. It's agenda-driven. So you look at the front page. Devastation in Typhoon's wake. Okay, that's understandable. It's a big story. Clean energy plans, future looking dark. Like I care about clean energy. You know what clean energy is? It's a scam. It's a political scam. It's to kill the eagles and to rob money from the public. If you look at actually what clean energy has produced. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a Neanderthal. I have a PhD. I understand science. I know that the future might hold solar power and other methods of generating energy. I'm not a fool. I'm not trying to live on hydrocarbons the rest of my life, even though I love them. I love hydrocarbon energy right now. I love driving a fast car on an open road. I love driving a big boat on an open sea. Don't get me wrong. And the day that we can have clean energy is the day I'll use it, but we don't have it yet. I mean, look at the cars catching fire and the eagles being killed in the wind turbines and the people whose lives have been ruined by windmills. So you've got to understand sometimes the technology is behind the idea, not in front of the idea. Next headline, arena plan shrinks again. Third proposal won't keep Warriors top critics at bay. Not interested because I don't like sports. I liked sports up until I was 11, which is about when I gave up gambling. I believe that gambling is something for children, and I believe sports is something for children. I realize that that's just sacrilegious. I won't say any more about it. I'm not interested in sports, although I do watch boxing, and I find athletes phenomenally interesting as human beings. I can't get into rooting for a team. I don't know how people can. I see idiots driving around in the Bay Area with cars with flags on them. Flags that say the 49ers like it's them, like they are the team. The world is burning around them. They have an overt Marxist in the White House who's melting the country down, and that schmuck's running around with the 49ers flag. But what can you do? But on page A7 of the Chronicle, there is an interesting story. At 100 years of age, physician stays on the move. That's a good story. Here's a guy 100 years old who has been in medicine forever. He's working every day of his life as a researcher. And he goes to monthly meetings of the Medical Information Informatics Interest Group in Oakland. That's an inspiration to me. And what's interesting about this man working at 100, which is a great inspiration to me, is this. Dr. Collin was a pioneer in the use of penicillin against infections during World War II. Can you believe this? He goes back that far? And it was his vision that demonstrated how the power of technology could be used against disease. That's amazing. God bless Dr. Morris Collin. Oh, I had a caller named Collin. It's an Irish name. Can you imagine a man still working at the age of 100 in medicine? He is busy at his home in Walnut Creek working on a new edition of one of the five books he has written, quote, A History of Medical Informatics in the United States, 1950 to 1990. I don't think he'll be on Good Morning America, but this is a real inspirational story. What else do we have in the news? Nothing. Green paving helps. Everything green. Green is like gluten-free to me. Gluten-free. Everyone's gluten. Oh, yeah, gluten-free diet. Oh, great. Like, you feel great. Great. It's like, I think that they're rabbis now. The great-grandfather wouldn't eat anything that wasn't kosher, and she won't eat anything that has gluten in it. You hear? It's like a religious experience for them. Oh, I'm gluten-free. Really? I eat gluten-free pizza. No kidding. What is gluten? I don't know, but it's no good for me. Well, what is it? You don't eat it. I don't know. It's something in there. It's no good for me. Why? I don't know. It's gluten. Gluten's no good. Sounds like glue. Glues me up. I don't like it. I feel clean. I feel free. I feel like a chlorophyll tablet. I feel like a chewy chlorophyll tablet because I eat gluten-free pizza. Never felt better. Now the latest thing is fruitarians. Everyone's a chimpanzee. It's usually the women who are partying day and night, cocaine, ecstasy, alcohol, drug, you name the drug, alcohol, sex around the clock, chlamydia, Clara. Now all of a sudden she's cleansing with a fruit diet, an all-fruit diet. She's as clean as the driven snow, and they're all going to get pregnant. They're all going to have the most perfect babies on earth. Because although they had 20 years of living like whatever goes down, now all of a sudden they're clean as the driven snow. Yeah, okay, get back to me when your kid is 12. I pray to God for you and the child. Fruitarian now. They have no idea what they're talking about. They don't even know what a protein is. They have no idea what a vitamin is. They have no idea what a mineral is. They have no idea that they're omnivores made to devour a mixed diet. They're not chimpanzees made to eat bananas and watermelon all day long. They're going to miss some of the most essential nutrients. They won't grow. The child, the baby won't grow. That's why their energy is going to collapse at the end of the day. They're addicted to the fruitarian diet just as they were addicted to the drugs and alcohol. But it's a new form of addiction, but don't tell that to the girl because she knows everything about everything. So I've moved past the newspapers. I have now gone on to the next newspaper. We're going on now to the New York Times. Did you hear about the big art sale? That was a monster sale today. The most expensive painting in history sold today. Three studies of Lucy and Freud by Francis Bacon went on the auction block today at Christie's. It brought $141 million for a triptych. A triptych. They thought it should bring at least $85 million. It just shows you what Wall Street has made. They paid $140 million for a rather not extraordinary series of paintings. Let's put it that way. It's all about status symbols, and it's all about... Look, I knew a guy who was an art dealer, one of the biggest in the world. I won't mention his name. He's long gone. He told me it's all fraudulent. He's the whole thing is absolute garbage. He said art is absolutely what you want to make it. Now, of course, there are standards. There are standards within the art world, but not in the sense of what a painting is going to bring on the auction market. Let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what's up there. New Obama still didn't change. Here it is. No, none of my stories made it today. All right, well, see, I have my crack team. Again, Obamacare. I was going to tell you about going from a bull to a steer. Right. I didn't mention that. So I called a friend up today who owns a little farm out in Western Marin because I couldn't sleep last night thinking about the castration of bulls. For some reason, it was on my mind. I don't know why. I thought of all the bulls crying as they had their you-know-whats cut off. I couldn't sleep thinking of the torture of the animal. So I called my friend and I said, Bob, do you castrate bulls? He said, I did three today. I said, isn't it horribly cruel? Doesn't the animal scream in pain? He said, no, not really. He said, it's done very quickly, and then we give them some grass, and they walk. I said, how old are they when you cut those? He said, they're babies, very, very young. He said, I said, oh. So why do you turn a bull into a steer, I asked him. He said, because they're less aggressive. Oh! I said, hush, hush, my darling. Don't let that seep out to the... four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are running America now. Maybe they know that a bull is turned into a steer, Teddy, when they're castrated. Could that be why they're castrating the U.S. military? To turn them into a less aggressive military? Could that be why the horsewomen who are running America have castrated the young American boy and turned him into a steer in order to make him a little more tender and a little less aggressive? So my friend started to laugh. He said, oh, God, don't do that on the radio, Savage. I said, don't worry, Bill, I won't do it. So I said, it's an interesting concept to go from a bull to a steer by castrating him. The bull is a young bull, so that the animal is less aggressive. And when you do the same to a horse, you go from a horse to a gelding, right? And when you do it to a young boy with psychoactive drugs such as Adderall, et cetera, don't you then turn him into a liberal zombie? He said, only you, Savage. Only you, Savage. So, as I say, I've been gifted with the ability to analyze things from, admittedly, from a unique point of view, and admittedly from my own perspective. But that whole sequence, bull to steer, horse to you-know-what, to gelding, and boy to liberal, is very interesting to me, and I think that's what we're living through right now, is the castration of the American male. Now I'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. 85, oh, it's sad, a bull to a steer. I don't know if I like that whole idea. I wish I could be a veterinarian, a vegetarian. I can't. Many times I wanted to be a vegetarian. I can't. I can't eat vegetables that much. I try. I gag on them. I mean, I know they're good for me. I have to eat them, and I have been eating them more. My mother ate a lot of them. She lived to 88. My father wouldn't touch them. Hated them. He died at 57. Hated vegetables. He was a meat and potatoes guy. No, look, he didn't know the B6 that contained vegetables, you know. Nothing. No one knew anything. What did they know? They ate like barbecue. I'll have more of that barbecue meat. What about the benzoapyrenes in the? No, I don't know about that. Just give me a. I'm a real man. I eat those. I want to lick those benzoapyrenes. I like those benzoapyrenes. What are you, some kind of? Yeah, well, anyway, I can't eat as many vegetables as I'd like. Texas, KLIF country, Cliff country, KLIF. I need more Texas callers. Are they going to listen to me when I, Texans like me or not? I don't know. They used to like me. So different than me, but yet so similar than me. Different voice. It's like the Irish guy. Different cultures, that yet we resonate on certain, you know, in certain ways. That's true. Skeptics see Euro eroding European unity. What? Skeptics see. I can't read the New York Times headlines. They're so twisted, you have to deconstruct them to understand what they're saying. They specialize, Teddy, in you have to deconstruct what they write. What do you mean? Skeptics see Euro eroding European unity? What does that mean? Why do they write backwards like that? Why can't they just write forwards? It's like they think backwards. I don't even know what the headline means, so I'm not going to bother deconstructing it. New consoles on the way, but gaming isn't the same. Not interested. Three ratings agencies sued in Bear Stearns case. Not interested. I don't invest. Healthcare reform I won't talk about the most boring topic on the planet is healthcare. Healthcare, healthcare, health. I want my healthcare. I want healthcare. I want my government healthcare. I want my prescription drugs. I want my prescriptions. I want my health care. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I don't know what happened to the hours tonight. It's like flew by. Must have been the pumpkin donut. I had a pumpkin muffin before the show. I don't eat sugar. I've been allergic to it since I'm a kid. I had migraines. I did the Zen diet when I was 18, the Osawa diet. I found out what I was allergic to, which is sucrose. But I can eat it once in a while. I went off. I mean, like, look at the energy I've had tonight. I don't even want dinner. I cheated today, too. I had French fries for lunch. I don't eat them but a few times a year. But oh, do I love them. But they were like, you know, like in a good, sustainable fish, you know, good oil. Like, it makes a difference, canola oil. They tasted good. But the birds were trying to eat my food. And, you know, it's like a dog-friendly outdoor seafood place, which could be a pain in the neck. I don't mind dog-friendly. I have a dog. I bring Teddy with me, but I keep him on a leash. Ah, table a bunch of self-important women. Their dogs are running around off the leash. Came over and sniffed Teddy's behind while I'm trying to eat the fish. It was very unpalatable, to be honest. No matter how cute it is, there's something about a dog smelling another dog that makes me lose my appetite momentarily. But I wasn't in the mood for any hostility, so I didn't say anything to the self-important girls, who were probably all very pure at the next table. I didn't want to say anything, but he kept sniffing. So then I gave Teddy a piece of the French fry. I didn't want it. He kept looking at me, looking. He doesn't say a word. I take a piece of this $25 fish sandwich. I swear to God, you never saw such a ripoff in your life. Well, they're very sustainable. It's all line caught, and the fish are so happy. I mean, they want to jump into the boat. These are not nor ordinary fish. These are sustainable fish. So I gave Teddy a piece of the fish. He spits it out. Guess who ate the fish? The dog off the leash grabbed Teddy's fish. I said, that's what happens. That's what happens to a little boy like you who's too nice and doesn't eat what daddy tells him to eat. That's the story of the day. What a great show I've had. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage. Hot Talk 560. KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you made it to hour number three, The Savage Nation, for tonight, Tuesday, November 12th. Yeah, November 12th, 2013. Here's all the depressing news right now on michaelsavage.com. Your friend in North Korea has publicly executed 80 people. Why? They had Bibles. Some had videos. And so they were rightly executed if you're a Stalinist or a leftist. Of course, that doesn't happen here, comma, yet. 80 people executed for having a Bible or a video. How do you like that? Not very much, I hope. On michaelsavage.com, Air Force Chief of Sexual Harassment Enforcement, indicted for groping. U.S. soldiers being killed by terror groups backed with U.S. money. Savage on the flu vaccine, not everything government says is true. And we're also talking about the big myth about cholesterol and statin drugs. Believe me, you've never seen anything like this. North Carolina man accused of aiding terrorists in Syria. Bring them all in. We need more immigrants, especially Muslims from the Middle East. Because they're all here to practice the religion of peace. Look at the record number of foreign students in the United States. Hundreds of thousands of Chinese students alone are flocking to the United States. Isn't that wonderful to have an open-door policy at a time like this? Terrorists kill 5 children at Christian school in Damascus. Let's pray to God none of these foreign students are sleepers. You wouldn't expect that, would you? I'm sure they're all vetted by the Department of Education. The same people who did so well with Obamacare certainly would vet immigrants and students, foreign students. Wow. What else is in the news? Well, let's go to the other sites and see what else is in the news. 1 million have insurance canceled in California. Hey, California. Feinstein joins push to keep health plans. No kidding. She took time out from the shopping cart industry to, yeah, she got like 24,000 letters or something telling her that they're shocked. Even she's afraid she'd get thrown out of office after 500 years as a senator. How's that possible? With all the illegal aliens, I don't think Dianne Feinstein has to worry about a thing. She's loved by all. Meanwhile, a global warming update. Arctic air brings first snowflakes to Philadelphia and New York City. Obama approval at new low. Wow. George W. Bush to appear on The Tonight Show. Ooh, that should be a scream. All he's got to do is try to read something. Gallup poll says congressional approval sinks to a record low. Oh, what else is in the news? Left-wing activists, along with illegal immigrants, begin a hunger strike to demand legalization. I have an answer to that. Yeah, only I can't say it right now. Let's see if we can figure it out. They're on a hunger strike to demand amnesty. What would you think I would say to that statement? Let them eat cake? No, that's not what I would say. Let's see what else is in the news. CNN has hired a New York Times writer to be a reporter. Oh, boy. Let us see. Sharp rise in marijuana-related incidents in middle schools, all you dopers. Yeah. The secret dirty cost of Obama's green power push. You don't want to know about that. But I haven't even started with the real stories. Here's the best one of the day. Did you hear about the green people who want to kill eagles? I'm not making this up. Nobody can make this up. But I've got to conclude this little lonely night here on the Savage Nation in front of a microphone. Here it is. Green energy producer seeks permit to kill eagles. And you thought that they all love the environment. A wind farm in the Montezuma Hills region of Northern California, the former land of liberalism, is seeking a permit to legally kill up to 5 golden eagles over the next 5 years, even though the birds are currently protected under federal law and an international migratory bird treaty. Why? Because it's a wind project in Solano County, owned by EDF Renewable Energy, which I think is owned by some people in Congress and their friends and relatives. And what happens is when you set up a wind turbine, you kill birds. I'm sure Rush Limbaugh would guffaw at that one. But you see, sometimes our protected species, like eagles, get sucked into the wind turbine. And in order to make, well, green energy, you've got to kill eagles. And, of course, the environmental assessment agent, whatever, the government has already approved killing the eagles. You understand that? So what is more valuable, so-called green energy profits or eagles? Well, you know my opinion on that one. I would say take the people who are in the green energy scam and suck them into a wind turbine. 855-400-7282. I'm just kidding. I can't ask that question. Should the owners of this alleged wind farm be put into the wind turbine or a wood chipper? I shouldn't have asked that. I'm sorry I did it again, so I won't ask it again. Do you approve of killing eagles or of gangsters in the wind turbine business? Let's make it a little more generic. We're not naming anybody. How do you feel about that? What's more valuable, so-called green energy graft or eagles? I hear rustling in the house. I think it's the dog on the rug scratching. 855-407-282. George on WABC, go ahead, please.
Yes, good evening, Michael. I'm a dedicated listener.
Sorry to hear it. I'm sorry to hear you're a dedicated listener. It means you have a very terrible life.
No. You're my highlight. But anyway, Clinton was actually putting out a subliminal message for Hillary as the president.
You mean so you agree with me? He was trying to position the Clinton machine as being more moderate than Obama, right? Not as mean?
Absolutely. And more.
So they're playing nice to the nasty cop. They've made Obama, who can't be reelected, the nasty cop, and they're going to be the nice cop. In other words, just vote Democrat, that's all.
Absolutely.
But, you know, George, you say you're a devoted listener, and I've heard you call before. Has anybody in the media analyzed it from this perspective all day? I haven't heard it. I don't listen all day, but I tune in and out. No one seems to see through this.
No. Still stuck on the issue of repealing Obamacare.
They can't repeal Obamacare. It's the law. What they really ought to do is look into what they have on Judge Roberts from spying. No one's asked that question. You remember this whole law was hanging on in balance when Justice Roberts was asked whether this Obamacare would be a tax or not, and everyone knew it wasn't a tax. Remember that? Everyone said, no, it's not a tax. What are you, crazy? And then suddenly he came up with this crazy idea that it was a tax. Could it be tied into NSA spying, do you think? I mean, if they spy on the Pope, and they'd spy on Merkel, and they'd spy on foreign leaders, why should we assume Obama didn't spy on Roberts, find something, and blackmail him with it? All right, so the new Democrat plan is that you should keep what you got. That's because they know Obamacare is very unpopular, and that Barack can't be reelected, allegedly can't be reelected. Let's hold our breath that he doesn't wipe out the term limits. And that, obviously, this is a plan to make Hillary appear more moderate to me. I seem to be the only one who sees it that way. But now Dianne Feinstein pops up and says the same thing. So these are the same people who pushed socialized medicine. And now they're saying they want socialized medicine light. Isn't that interesting? And many on the right are saying, oh, that's wonderful. It shows a split in the Democrat Party. These are the same people who think Chris Christie is horrible, but that Bill Clinton is wonderful. Go figure. So what can I say to you? Greece intercepts ship with 20,000 assault rifles headed for Syrian rebels. Greece has intercepted a weapons ship destined to Sunni rebels in Syria. Well, that should make John McCain very unhappy. The 20,000 assault rifles that won't be going to the rebels, that should make him and Lindsey Graham really angry. The Hellenic Coast Guard captured a ship with more than 20,000 assault rifles, as well as ammo and explosives. The weapons shipment came from Ukraine and was headed for the Turkish port of Iskenderun. Oof, God, this is heavy-duty stuff. Arms, sales, arms interception. This is amazing. Who thinks that Greece? Hey, let's hear it for the Greeks. I didn't even know they had a Coast Guard anymore. Yesterday's show was very good about death and dying. Maybe I can go into that. I asked you last night, where was God in the Philippines? And that was a good show. The news is horrendous. The news from the home front is awful. The war on the Western Front is worse than ever. Nothing is good in America. Everything's bad. Chris Christie is the hope. That's the great white hope, is Chris Christie. Oh, my. But you see, here's the thing. Here's the paradox in that one. The schmucks are so angry that Chris Christie won that they'd rather that they lose an election just to show how smart they are. The schmucks are so mad at Chris Christie that they'd rather lose the next election than see any Republicans win. That made sense. That makes good sense. Ever wonder how the Radical Revolutionary Guard left won? Have you figured out how the Obama Revolutionary Guards took power? It's exactly because of that attitude. Right? McCain was no good. Romney was no good. I voted for Romney. Don't you remember? You don't remember that. I didn't like Romney. I knew he was middle of the road. But don't you remember a week before I came out and said, I'll support him anyway because God knows what we'll have if we get Obama? But many of you, oh, no, I'll show them. I'll show them. I'm a true believer. I'm a purist. I'm an absolutist. Oh, I'm a fundamentalist. I know what's right for America. I'll let Obama win so it all comes down. And then I'll show them how bad it is. Then they'll really vote for someone. That made sense. That worked out real well. And three more years to go and it's not over. Just think about Lincoln, the great hero, the Saint Lincoln, suspended habeas corpus, arrested journalists, politicians who disagreed with him, burnt cities to the ground, arrested anyone who stood in his way. Say, well, he freed the slaves. That's wonderful, very noble. But General Sherman also wanted to free the slaves, and he was a southern general, wasn't all one side. So it wasn't about slavery per se. That's the popular notion. So let's you look at Lincoln. Oh, again, hold him up on a pedestal. No, don't put anyone on a pedestal. It's all I can say to you. Human beings are what they are. Any wonder I talk to a dog. I'm a realist. At the end of the day, I'm a realist. When, you know, I don't want to go into me again. It's too much me. Well, it is about me. It may as well be about me. But again, I go back to when I was a kid watching the fights. You know, the Gillette, to look sharp and be on the ball, to be sharp and be on the da-da-da. My father watched the fights every Friday nights. So I had to watch them. I was a kid. I couldn't go out yet. So he watched the fights. My uncle, I loved my uncle. He would sit on the couch, and every blow he would feel. At least my father didn't move. I knew my father was, like, somehow smarter. No disrespect. But my uncle was more primitive. As the fighter he was rooting for was throwing punches, he was moving on the couch. He threw a left, my uncle moved with the left. He threw a right, my uncle moved with the right. And grunched and groaned and And I looked at it as a kid saying, all right, there's a difference in people, I'll tell you that. I liked my father more than my uncle at that moment. I thought there was something a little off there with the movement. But anyway, the fighters, when they would come out, would pray. As I said, on one side of the ring, the fighter would pray to God, get on his knees, cross himself. On the other diagonal side, fighter get on his knees, cross himself. Both praying to God. It was so touching. And one would win and one would lose. So why did one win and one lose? I didn't understand that. Maybe one was better? I didn't understand. I didn't understand it. But even today when a fighter wins, they usually ask him, how did he win? How did he beat this other? He said, because of his faith in God. God, I like that. I like that part of it. HBO usually cut him right off. Or Showtime, the boxing. Showtime. The guys cut him right off. Whenever he says God, they don't let it go out on the air because that's against the atheists of Hollywood. You can't have the Caesars of Hollywood who control HBO, Showtime, BO, HBO, Obama. Those guys who control the world don't want you to hear anything about God. It's a real challenge to their power, you understand. What else is in the news? Iranian Supreme Leader's $95 billion business empire. Oh, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that the head of the Revolutionary Guards is a crook. It's any different here? The military-industrial complex is alive and well in Iran as well as it is in Washington. Typhoon survivor. Oh, there was a survivor. Typhoon Haiyan survivor. I thought it was the end of the world. Yeah, well, that's nothing. I was in a Category 5 C once. I didn't know what to do. It was the most frightening thing on earth. You know, natural disasters are something to live through. I remember hurricanes and tornadoes when I was a young man. No, I was on a ship once in a typhoon, a small one. They don't call them that in the South Pacific. And when that sea started to bang that iron hull of that ship, she was only a 5,000-tonner and a flat bottom at that. She was designed for the Antarctic, and it really shouldn't have been put out between Tahiti and Fiji because those waters are nice when they're calm, but when they're rough, that thing rolled. It rolled like... Chris Christie on the way to a polling booth. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's amazing to me how cynical the comedians are on television, the fake geniuses, Hollywood. They're all coming out now saying, oh, we're in favor of less government. I mean, people have been radical leftists their whole loudmouth lives. Are suddenly trying to position themselves as middle-of-the-road moderates in Hollywood. You can't believe this. As well as television comedians. Suddenly they're playing like, oh, yeah, we're against big government, too. How'd that happen? The best cartoon of the day I saw in the World Tribune today, it shows the equivalent of a Titanic-like ship halfway underwater going down. It's called the SS Obamacare. And then there's a group of an orchestra playing, and they're called the Press. The leader is Obama in a sailor cap saying, keep playing. It's very interesting. So now all of a sudden that the geniuses on the left who did this to us, including Dianne Feinstein, including Hillary Clinton, who tried to take over one-sixth of the economy at that time, they're saying, oh, yeah, let them keep their plan. Right. Right. Just play the Bill Clinton piece again so the newcomers get into the shorty.
I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got.
Oh, God. All right. Well, enough with that already. It's late at night. People are exhausted. I don't know about you, but this daylight savings time is just slaying me. Till 6 o'clock rolls around on the West Coast, it's like, what in the... I get up at the crack, the minute the light comes in. It's the old Lenny Bruce joke. Oh, sure, I always get up 14 hours before my show. How can I do this? How many days left till my January 1st switch to, like normal hours here? Noon to 3 on the West, 3 to 6 on the East. I'll be actually able to go to dinner like a human being? Can you imagine? Unbelievable to me. But look, I'm not complaining. God wants me here. God wants me in the Siberia of talk radio. It's not really that late on the West Coast. Not really that late at all when you think about it. And as someone said to me, what would you be doing anyway with this time? That's the real horror. You want to hear horror? It's like the apocalypse now. Someone said to me, what are you complaining about the time slot you're in? What would you be doing with this time if you weren't on the radio, for example? And that really hits, like the void hits you. The whole abyss. The whole darkness of the universe sets in like, oh my God. How many meals are there to be had? How many drinks are there to be drunk? How many dances are there to be danced? You know what I'm saying? So thank you, God, for giving me this late night show, which will soon become a much earlier show. God sees the truth but waits. So maybe you can answer me about God now. The typhoon hits. Yesterday it was 10,000. Today they reduced it to 2,000. But nevertheless, okay, thousands killed. So every man, woman, and child was evil. Is that what you're saying? God wiped them all out because even the infants who were not even born in the womb, they should have died too?
Savage.
Where was God in the Philippines? That's the question of the day. I could ask you, is Holder purging the Navy? You don't want to know about that. Michael Goodwin in the New York Post wrote an interesting article. De Blasio wins with Obama's babyish utopianism. Very well written, but I'm not going to read it. Since he won't come on the show, don't read Michael Goodwin of the New York Post. Pay no attention to him. He's a crackpot. No, I'm just kidding. He writes well, but he must be a crackpot if he was afraid to come on the show. What's this? Obama threatens GOP with executive orders on drawer full of ideas. Yeah, the Revolutionary Guards. You see Homeland? She's starting to wear thin on me. What's her name, that actress? Claire Danes. I liked it till I found out they're trying to remake her as a sex symbol. Now I don't like her anymore. I like her as a half-crazy, vulnerable woman. I like her in that role. But now I saw a new picture of her, like Claire Danes posing nude with an airbrushed face. I don't want to know her anymore. Not interested. The world's filled with the empty heads from Hollywood. I don't need another one. I thought she had depth. She says, I don't want to be Carrie the rest of my life. Oh, come on. Honey, you don't know how lucky you got playing Carrie. You should be Carrie the rest of your life in real life and on the screen. You'd be a better person for it. Whatever you do, please don't try to become a bimbo. Whatever you do, please. You look like every one of those other fake-breasted, airbrushed girls from New York and Hollywood. I mean, nauseating. I liked her with the vulnerability and the craziness in the face that she could give, where she's in a conflict that she looks left to right, right to left, rolls the eyes. She looked like most of the women I've... No, I'm just... That's a stereotype. I realize that. We all want our women to be crazy. It's, those days are over. We're the crazy ones now. The guys have become, oh, everything is wrong. Woo-hoo. The women are strong. They're tough as nails. The guy's like, oh, they told them to find their inner self. They found it. Now they can't do anything. They're broken. They're broken down and they can't move. The guy can't move. They're quitters. They break down. They cry. American men have found their inner self so sufficiently that they're broken down. The women have to run the country. Yes, it's very good. And here we go with the next soundbite. Here is the doctor. Here's the weirdest guy. I played Schumer with the chicken. I don't like Carrie. Let me be clear. I never liked him. I don't like fake patrician men who marry for money. Let's start from the get-go. I don't like fake patrician men who marry for money. The ketchup fortune, suddenly he's a genius. Bought his way into secretary. Now, he did run for the presidency. You never forget that. He's always waiting in the wings. He thinks he's going to make it. He thinks by stabbing Israel in the back, enough anti-Semites will vote for him, but it won't happen. That was a good line. That was as good as Henny Youngman, but I don't have a violin. Here is Secretary of State John Kerry at the United Arab Emirates. He's always on the globetrotting. Clip three, please.
I believe the Prime Minister needs to recognize that no agreement has been reached about the end game here. That's the subject of the negotiation. The sanctions were put in place in order to bring about a negotiation. Because the first order of business of any superpower is to exercise its power thoughtfully.
Yeah, well, you should have done that before you reached out to Iran. You exercise it. Who taught you that? Of course the first order of business of superpowers is exercise your power thoughtfully. Well, you haven't done that, John. You reached out to Iran, who took you to the cleaners. You found out after the fact, Mr. Kerry, didn't you, that one of the girls in the State Department, some wobbly leftist revolutionary guard that Obama planted there, along with her cohort sister from the European Union who hates Jews, let the Iranians write clauses in the agreement that you didn't even see. So you give them a blank contract. And they said, all right, fill it in any way you want to the mullahs. The mullahs, all right, fine, we'll sign that deal. Just leave a few blanks in there, like clauses 1 through 100, and we'll fill it in. Then Kerry says, holy God, that's the agreement they drafted? Yeah, some chick in the State Department, some left-wing fanatic put there by Samantha Powers, and some broad in the European Union that no one ever heard of, lady whatever. Remember I criticized, and they said, lady whatever? She's a foreign secretary of the European Union. I said, oh, my, that stinks to high heaven. This one is bad. And sure enough, they were worse than my instincts told me. They got agreement that the mullahs could fill in any way they wanted. The clauses weren't even in there. Can you imagine? Now I'm giving you the news. Now you like me again. I'm giving you the reality. Now it gets better in clip four. Listen to this now.
If we had to turn to a military option because we are left no other option,
yeah,
we must show the world we have exhausted every possible remedy and opportunity.
Yeah, that's an if question. That's some Secretary of State we have there. Let me give you an if. There's a, I got to do this in a family-friendly way. There's a Yiddish phrase, a Jewish phrase that goes like this. It's, if my Zadie had you-know-what, she'd be my Zeta. Now, what that means is, if my grandmother had you-know-what, she'd be my grandfather. That's an if. That's what Kerry just said. If my Zadie had you-know-what, she'd be my grandfather. My Zadie had you-know-what, she'd be my Zeta. Zadie means grandmother, and Zeta means grandfather. So it's the same thing what Kerry just said. If we had to turn to military action because we left no other option, we must show the world we have exhausted every remedy and opportunity. That's very tough. That's something that the toughest of the tough would understand. But, yeah, but you see, it's still your grandmother, because there's no you-know-what there. So we have the most incompetent, divisive administration in American history, and this is a shocking story that came out. Criminal terror charges filed against Obama in Egypt alleges involvement with the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm not making this up. Sources in Egypt on the WND are now reporting that Egyptian lawyers have filed criminal terrorism charges in the International Criminal Court against President Obama, in addition to the criminal terrorism charges previously filed in Egyptian courts against the president's half-brother, Malik Obama. Malik Obama is quickly becoming a person of interest in Egypt for his alleged management of funds for a terrorist organization based in neighboring Sudan. A group of Egyptian lawyers, meanwhile, have charged President Obama with crimes against humanity for his support of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Obama is likely to be a subject in Morsi's criminal trial because of evidence the Obama administration used the U.S. Embassy in Cairo to provide direct financial support to key Muslim Brotherhood political operatives with the full knowledge and complicity of the Morsi government, as WND was first reported in August. Now, I had Waleed on Friday. We'll have to follow this up this week. This is very serious business. This is very serious business because, remember, Obama tried to prevent the Egyptians from self-determination while speaking out of the other side of his mouth talking about democracy. He was fighting their democracy. They didn't want Morsi. They hated Morsi. They hated the Muslim Brotherhood. They hated what they were doing to the country, during which the Christian minority was torched, destroyed, and plundered during the reign of the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi. And remember who Obama supported, the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi. So finally they said they had enough. They threw Morsi out. He's on trial. And the military took over. And which side were we on? And where did Wacko McCain go? Remember Wacko McCain? Wacko McCain should be tried on terrorism charges, by the way. So should Lindsey Graham be charged on terrorism charges. Egypt threw Morsi in jail. Egypt wanted no more to do with the Muslim Brotherhood. These two crazy meddlers, these warmongers, McCain and Lindsey Graham, had the gall to go to Egypt and tell the Egyptian people that democracy dictates that they not do what they were doing. Who the hell were they to tell the Egyptians what they knew was going on was wrong? These two guys are very at high risk right now of being dragged into the International Criminal Court, in my estimation, to face terrorism charges for supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Now, wouldn't that be a turnabout? Would that be a shocker if the whole House of Cards came tumbling down because of what they try to do to the Egyptian people? Would that not be interesting? Well, don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. They have ways of controlling these things. If your son, let's say, stole a bong from a pot store, you go to jail for 2 years. But if you bomb a nation that's sovereign for no reason, you go to the UN and get an award. Now let's listen to the genius John Kerry, the pseudo-aristocrat with ketchup money, in clip five.
I'd say a number of nations, not just the French, but ourselves and others, wanted to make sure that we had the tough language necessary, the clarity in the language necessary, to be absolutely certain that we were doing the job and not granting more or doing something sloppily that could wind up with a mistake.
Wow, that's really after the fact. You know, thank the French. The French were the only one of the Western alliance who said no to this agreement to stab Israel in the back with Iran. Did you know? You don't even know this. It's not of any interest to anybody in America except the fanatics. The people who really understand this realize that the French were on the right side. This is a strange thing that went on. There must have been a sunspot, because I agree with the French and I agree with Schumer all in the same weekend. There has to be a sunspot. I know that they were threatening over the weekend that a satellite was going to fall to Earth somewhere. I was afraid it was going to hit my house. Thank God it fell in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. But maybe that explains why I agree with the French and Schumer all the same weekend. This is bizarre, right? I mean, Schumer's against Chinese chickens. And I don't mean the General Cho's chicken in a Chinese restaurant. I mean because now suddenly Agribusiness wants to bring in chickens raised and slaughtered in China. Poison. How'd that work out for your dog that wound up with kidney failure? So I agree with Schumer on that. Well, he and I agreed on this Dubai port deal, by the way. Then, now France says no. They say no. No, 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 no. To Kerry for the deal to stab Israel in the back. Again over the weekend. They're the only country. The Brits are gone. They're finished. Whatever Obama wants, the Brits do, apparently. They're like an appendage of Obama. What happened to England? My God, I watch war movies. What happened to them? Wow, look at the news. The news is pretty horrible. You want me to go to my website? You'll hear news. You won't believe this. I collect stuff. I try not to get you really upset. Let's see. What's up now? The secret dirty cost of Obama's green power push. That's an old story. Is immigration reform dead in Congress? That might be true. You would think that the Obama Revolutionary Guard would stop trying to destroy America at the pace that they've been following, and they'd slow down on amnesty. But no, I don't believe it. I believe that the forces of amnesty are so strong, there is so much money at stake, that they're not through with that at all. I think you're being hoodwinked into believing that. North Korea publicly executes 80 people. You know what they did? They had a Bible. North Korea publicly executed 80 people. Why? Some had Bibles. Now, that will please people on the left. They would like to execute you for having a Bible. I understand that. Some for offenses as minor as watching South Korean movies or possessing a Bible. South Korean newspaper Jung-ong Ilbo reported that the so-called criminals were put to death in seven cities across North Korea on November 3. Ugh. You have any idea what we're talking about here? Eight people, their heads covered with white bags, were tied to stakes at a local stadium in the city of Wonsan before authorities shot them with a machine gun? Where is the United Nations? What, are they too busy with the prostitutes tonight on the Upper East Side? Where are they? Where are those rats in the United Nations? They say, pointing their finger at Israel, you lousy anti-Semitic bums, you. You third world throwbacks, you. I can't stand any of you in the UN. You phony grifters. You rat grifters, you. All you do is point fingers at Israel. Here, 80 people are executed in North Korea, and you rat mongers. You mongers, you. You have nothing to say about North Korea executing people? Close down the UN. Shut the UN and kick the diplomats out. Turn it into a homeless shelter. Take that entire high-rise and convert it to homeless housing in New York and throw these people out. They're worthless. They're leeches. I lived in New York. I saw what went on outside the UN. I saw them in their limos with the prostitutes. I saw them jumping out, the big executives, the big ambassadors, the diplomats with the shiny shoes. We're doing it for our people. We're doing it for our people back home. This is some story. This is some story. Not one word from the useless United Nations. And what's really galling is that the guy who heads up the UN is Korean. North Korea publicly executes people, some for having videos or Bibles. Not one word from the corrupt, radical people in the United Nations. Okay, I got a neck ache from this. It's so awful. I don't want to get a sore throat. How could you not get upset over it? Well, what can you do over it? The people are dead, right? What can you write to Dianne Feinstein? Yeah, send an email to Dianne Feinstein about the executions in North Korea. Maybe she could send an email to Kim Jong-un and say to him, please don't kill any more people if they have Bibles. That might be something she might do for you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We got health care. We got the big gulp. I mean, you name it. They're coming. They're coming after your donuts. Did you hear they're coming after the trans fat in your donuts? So I mentioned this today, and unfortunately, my wife tells me I should count to 10 before I speak sometimes, but I couldn't help. The FDA has banned, unilaterally, some unelected bureaucrat has banned trans fats. And so I said, we need to line every one of them up. I want to see how skinny or how fat the FDA agents are that are making the rules on this.
It is the Savage Nation. That was Rand Paul warning the FDA is coming after your donuts. Only because he's right. What's next? I call them food fascists in my book, The Skeptical Nutritionist, published in 1981, to show you how long I've been into this. There's another story that came out. Dems seek to change health law. Dianne Shopping Cart Feinstein joins worried polls demanding President Obama allow people to keep their current insurance policies. Now, if a woman like Dianne Feinstein, who's been in office, I think, since George Washington, is worried because Congress's approval rating is at 9%, even amongst Democrats, they want them fired. She knows she's vulnerable. Do you realize that there are people who could run against Dianne Feinstein and defeat her? Boxer could be defeated. Do you understand that? And they finally know this after, I don't know what, 20, I don't know how many years they've been in office. We've had a one-party system in California for as long as I can remember. It's like North Korea here. But they are running scared. Dianne Feinstein wants people to keep their current insurance policies. You really believe that? You really actually believe that? I could run against Feinstein. I might win. I'm not going to run. I told you I'm never going to go into politics. Those days are long gone. But if someone had a good radio show and was known as well as I am, in California and America, and known to speak his mind, whether people like him or not, they like that you speak your mind in California. Even Democrats are tired of the double talk and the double dealing and the family plan. I'm telling you that an independent could win in the state of California. So, I mean, I have a question to you. Do you agree or disagree with my analysis of why Bill Clinton came out and said that the people should, well, what did he actually say? Play the small piece again. Let's hear the short one. Just a short
version. I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got.
All right, dead in the water, we'll move on. I told you I don't do Obamacare. I'm the only conservative host who won't do it. I would rather talk about a bad Indian buffet than Obamacare, and I was right. I knew nobody would call on that, but I couldn't resist telling you what I think of Bill Clinton coming out suddenly like he cares about you keeping your plan. They're worried about losing the entire youth market, which is one of their primary, basal voter groups. It's like basal cell carcinoma to cancer. They need that basal cell group, that young group. They need it badly. They're afraid that the future portends terribly for them, as it should, because all the young people are going to get hammered by this. All the people who were hoodwinked by that nice young black guy who they elected, they didn't want that evil old white male. Oh, no. Anyone but the old white male. So let me give you some of the other topics. A green energy producer in Northern California wants a permit to kill eagles. It sounds like an oxymoronic statement, right? So I'll repeat it. A green energy producer seeks a permit to kill eagles. A wind farm in the Montezuma Hills region of Northern California is seeking a permit to legally kill up to 5 golden eagles. You hear? Even though the eagles are currently protected under federal law and an international migratory bird treaty. Noting that the project contributes to California's renewable energy portfolio standard goals, the corrupt U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has recommended a permit to kill eagles. I swear I'm not making this up. The corrupt U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has recommended a 5-year permit to kill the eagles. If approved, the 3,500-acre Shiloh 4 wind project in Solano County, which is owned by, you ready for this, EDF Renewable Energy, look it up, find out who owns EDF Renewable Energy, follow the money, would receive the nation's first eagle take permit, allowing the project 50 2-megawatt wind turbines to legally kill the eagles without penalty. An estimated 315 birds will be killed by each turbine per year, according to the draft's environmental assessment report. Early this year, a similar wind farm in Nevada faced a $200,000 fine for killing a single golden eagle without a take permit. So, I have a question for you. Should the owners of this energy farm be put into a wind turbine instead of the eagles? I'm just kidding. I can't ask that question.
Savage.